Well, amen. We're glad to have the Prangers with us tonight, missionaries to Hungary, Budapest, Hungary, Jim and Laura Pranger. They've been over there a long time, and they've been missionaries a long time, probably, 30 years, at least 33 years. We've been supporting them for most of that time, and we're just happy to have a hand in the work they're doing. Souls are getting saved. Christ is being honored, and we praise the Lord for that. And so Brother Pranger is with us tonight, and I'm taking the evening off. He's going to preach to us at this time.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. God bless you. All right. Yeah, I believe you folks have supported us from the beginning. I remember we were staying down in your basement with all five little kids. Finally cleaning up all the mess, huh? Okay. All right. Well, amen. You know, kids are kids, right? And they can sure make a mess. So, yeah, praise the Lord. We've been 33 years. We started out in Siberia, and I was talking to somebody and talking about cold weather. He said, yeah, like here, you know, and I said, no, not like here. After 11 years in Russia, you know, we had our coldest was minus 65. And after you get down to minus 40, the wind stops blowing. And I told the Russians that is the mercy of God, okay? But after 16 years altogether, deputation, furlough, and all that stuff, we started having a lot of visa problems. So Laura and I ended up going to Budapest, Hungary, where we've been for the last 17 years this month. And God's been good. We took over for a missionary that was on furlough, and then he was supposed to be gone for a year, and then he called after a couple months and said, we can't come back, so would you take over the work? So we've been there 17 years, and I never thought that we would still be there after 17 years, but the Lord knows. The ministry in Hungary is very slow. Somebody asked me about Catholicism, and the main two churches in Hungary are Catholicism and the Hungarian Reformed, which is Calvinism. So you have the two C's. You have Catholicism, you have communism, and things are very slow. I saw a thing on the internet early when we were there that they said up to 99% of the people are probably lost. And when I said that to the people in the church, they said it's probably higher. So, but some of the things that God did since we've been there, one of the things I really enjoy that I really liked about Hungary is the fact that it's a very international city, a lot like Cleveland. I don't know about Erie, but probably like Erie too. There are a lot of foreigners there. We have passed out literature to people from 96 countries of the world. 96 countries of the world. And in fact, this afternoon I was down in Harmony, Pennsylvania. We went to a Mexican restaurant for lunch. I passed out 7 Spanish tracts at the restaurant, so that was pretty good. I had a good time doing that. But also, we had a Bible Institute every Monday night since we started there until COVID. And then my wife also had a ladies' Bible study there on Monday nights also. And we've really been able to encourage and equip the believers that are there. So one of the Hungarian pastors doing real well. His son also has started a church about an hour. He's on the west side of Budapest. We're on the southeast. And God has really done a lot. One of the things, though, that's really happened a lot during the last 3.5 years with the Ukrainian war, the Lord has helped me. I've been able to make 58 trips into Ukraine so far. And we have passed... We've had almost 70 visitors come from the States, and we passed out probably almost 120,000 John Romans in Ukrainian, as well as 50,000 New Testaments in Ukrainian, and God has really helped. I'm able to preach in Russian, play guitar on the street, sing in Hungarian and Russian. We really have a good time there, and God's really been doing a lot, good work there. We're back this time for 4 months. It's a little different. We usually come back about a month and a half every year, visit our family, which we got 5 kids and 22 grandkids now. And so we come back, see our family, and then we visit a different group of churches. But this year, my wife came back in the end of July, beginning of August, to bring our grandson back. We had a 14-year-old grandson with us for 5 weeks in Hungary. Had a wonderful time with him. And then she was supposed to pick up our birth certificates with the apostille, which is an international seal, to help renew our paperwork there in Hungary. Well, mine never showed up, and hers didn't have the seal on it. So we're actually back in the States for 4 months this time. Head back in January, early January, try to renew our paperwork, and then keep on going from there. So really be praying. I'm not old. I'm going to be 68 next month, so I'm not old, right? I'm not old. But, you know, we're kind of praying about, we want the Hungarians to do more in the ministry there. And then it'll free us up to do a lot more work in, for example, in Serbia. Brother Matt Miller's in Serbia. And 2 weeks ago, he had 60 people in his service. 50 of them were Russian. So there's a lot of Russian people in Serbia, Croatia. There's also a lot of Ukrainians. There's a lot of Ukrainians in Romania. And also we'll be going back into Ukraine, but also Slovakia, Czech Republic. Kind of want to be like an evangelist, but in Central and Eastern Europe there, and really try to do a lot of passing out a lot of literature, do a lot of preaching in English, Hungarian, and Russian, and just see what the Lord's going to do. I really like your office, by the way, all that, the military stuff there, the old-fashioned swords and all that stuff there, and Hungary's got a lot of that stuff too, you know, and I saw your advertisement for your Soldiers of the Round Table. Saints of the Round Table. Yeah, I saw that. So this song here, God's really been working in my heart, and I've been doing a lot of Bible study and spiritual warfare. I saw your intercessory prayer Bible in the conference room, I guess. It looked like a pretty nice Bible. But I'm working on a spiritual warfare study Bible, and I'm really having a lot of fun with that. I'm trying to pour all my Bible study, you know, all the missionary biographies I've been reading and all the principles and spiritual warfare things. And this song is called Where Are the Soldiers of the Lord? In this dark night of sin, where is the light of the world? Has the church lost her power? Have the gates of hell prevailed? Oh, where are the soldiers of the Lord? Those who have answered the call to fight against the wiles of the devil, armed with all the power of God. In this rotting generation, where is the salt of the earth? Has the church lost her power? Have the gates of hell prevailed? Oh, where are the soldiers of the Lord? Those who have answered the call to fight against the wiles of the devil, armed with all the power of God. Our God is still on the throne, and He will prevail over all. The church has not lost her power. The gates of hell have not prevailed. But where are the soldiers of the Lord? Those who have answered the call to fight against the wiles of the devil, armed with all the power of God. Oh, where are the soldiers of the Lord? Those who have answered the call to fight against the wiles of the devil, armed with all the power of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, it was really amazing when we found out that we were going to have to renew our paperwork, or that we could not actually renew our paperwork. We had about 2 weeks from the time we got our tickets to where we left Budapest. And God really answered prayer, and he helped me to get my paperwork together, or not my paperwork, my schedule together, for 4 months of travels. So in the next 4 months, we're going to be visiting about 35 churches from northeast Pennsylvania all the way to western Kansas, and then all the way down to southern Texas, and everywhere in between. So be praying for us as we travel. So God really answered prayer, and I called, I was with Brother Dave Smith this morning down in Pennsylvania, in Harmony, Pennsylvania, and, you know, he said, yeah, if you can find a meeting Sunday night, go ahead and take that, and we'll be happy just having you for Sunday morning. Called Brother Alquist, and I said, I've got this Sunday night open, and he said, yeah, we'd love for you to come. So really praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here. Got a good crowd here on this Sunday night, and that's good to be here. It's good to see Mrs. Alquist, too. Good to see you. And we're just praising the Lord for the memories we have here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. I didn't ask the preacher what time I needed to finish, but I see the clock here is at 7 minutes till 4, and the second hand is on the... What is it? It's on the 12. So I guess I'm good, right? The clock has stopped. I'm good, right? When people start falling asleep, I know it's time to wrap it up, right? And if the preacher walks out, you know it's time. It's over, right? All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Now, one of the things I've been doing, when we had the Ukrainian war start up, we had 2.5 families, Ukrainian families, that moved in with us for about 3 months. And then we had a lot of visitors coming from America also that wanted to go into Ukraine with us. So I started preaching from an iPad. Man, I always preach against preaching from an iPad. But I think you'll like this preacher. He can probably read it from here, can't you? Almost. Getting closer. Yeah, I have English, Hungarian, and Russian. I have it on 26 point, so I mean, I can read it clear out here, and I don't have to put my reading glasses back and forth all the time. Plus, when we were having services in Hungary, we had the Ukrainians on this side. We had Ukrainians, Hungarians over here. We had Ukrainians here, and we had Americans filtered in the back there. And I would preach in English. I'd translate for myself into Russian. One of our Hungarian young men would translate into Hungarian. And one Thursday night, my Hungarian translator didn't come, and I had to do all three languages myself. Don't do this without adult supervision. Somebody back there in the back, he said, boy, I bet your brain was tired after that, wasn't it? You're not a kidding. We sang the song. We had the Hungarians. I try to be decent and in order, preacher, you know, like we're taught, you know, from the Bible. I had the Hungarians would sing the first verse, the Ukrainians, we'd sing it in Russian in the second verse, the Americans would sing the third verse, and everybody kept getting mixed up when to sing. I said, okay, we're just going to stop that. We're going to sing all together. You know, we're gonna sing all the languages all together at the same time. Our God is so smart. He knows your heart. He knows if you're singing from the heart, and if you're singing from the heart, he'll be happy. But the problem was sometimes the Hungarian only had three verses, and the Russian always had more verses. They had four verses. So sometimes they would stop singing after the third verse, and they'd start up singing on the fourth verse. And then I'd say, okay, stop. I said, if you stop after the third verse and then they start singing another verse, just sing the last verse again. We had so much fun. Now, you got to picture this. I got three songbooks on my desk or on the pulpit here. You know, I got three songbooks on my on the pulpit here, and we had so much fun. Yeah, it was crazy. We laughed a lot, but we had a lot of fun, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, again, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, here you go, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now, I've been using the first two verses here as kind of a springboard. It's my title. It's the theme of what I want to preach tonight. But the first thing that I want to say tonight to you folks here in Erie is arm yourselves. Now, I'm talking spiritual warfare, okay? I'm talking about carrying tracts in different languages and talking to people from different languages. Let me give you an idea. We were helping our daughter Sharon pack up things and getting ready to move in northern Indiana, and she was living in Elkhart, Indiana at the time. And we went there, and we're packing up stuff, and my wife's helping her pack up stuff. And I got to go to the laundromat 3 days in a row. That's our favorite place to be, right, guys? The laundromat. Yeah, look at everybody. Look at everybody. The laundromat. Well, I had some black cargo pants on with the big pockets. I have English and Spanish tracks over here. I have Russian and Ukrainian tracks over here. I have a notebook that I can write stuff down. And I had black cargo pants. I had a dark blue T-shirt on, and I had a black vest with all the pockets on it. I wear a black baseball cap that I, with whiteout, I put a big cross in the middle, and I put Jesus Saves on there. I had so much fun. I passed out some literature to all the people at the laundromat. Even the workers took tracks. Had so much fun. On Tuesday, I went to the laundromat. Oh, it was so funny. There were about 15 guys in there, all Hispanic. I walk in, black cargo pants, dark blue T-shirt, a black vest with pockets on it, and a black hat says, Jesus Saves. And they're like this. They think I'm either ICE, or they think I'm the police or somebody. And I thought, I saw them. I mean, they were afraid, okay? So what I did was I said, Buenos dias. And I said, that's all the Spanish I know, by the way, Buenos dias, you know? And I said, I play guitar. I do know Feliz Navidad, you know? I know that one a little bit. But that I can't do the whole song, but I don't know all the Spanish, but I know that part of it well. So I said, I am not a policeman. I am a pastor. I'm a pastor. And then they said, one of them said, ah, pastor, good man, pastor. So then they thought, oh, that's good, he's a pastor, okay, he's not gonna deport us, you know. But every single one of them took a Spanish track. Arm yourselves. Are you ready for the battle? You've got a conference coming up, Saints at the round table, right? Something like that. I'll get it right before the end of the message. Where are the soldiers of the Lord? Arm yourselves. Are you ready for the battle? Man, look what's going on in America. Look what's going on around the world. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Verse 2. It's a title, and then this is the subtitle, okay? That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The second part of the title is, I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. Amen. You know, I'm going to be 68 next month. I got people asking me when I'm going to retire. I'm not planning on retiring. I want to keep on going forward till Jesus comes. Amen? Amen. I wish I would have took more notes when I met this guy about working out. I finally got it down, preacher. I'm doing push-ups and air squats every morning and jumping jacks, and I'm trying to get back in shape so I can outrun sugar, you know, so I can outrun the sugar, okay? But I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life, and I want your life to be the best of your life. I want this church, and this church, I love coming here. I love your preacher and his wife. You guys are doing a great job here. You had some folks saved this morning. I mean, you guys are, I love coming here. You know, there are a lot of churches in America, boy, they're struggling. It's a warfare. It's a war. We have to be ready for the battle. We have to be ready to fight. You know, some people just get old. They get tired. They get mean. You know, I don't want to be an old, mean preacher. I don't want to be an old, grouchy preacher. I want to be an old, happy preacher. I want to, you know, we had our grandson come to Hungary for about 5 weeks. And we have a lookout mountain in downtown Hungary. And he and I climbed that hill. It took me almost a half an hour to get to the top. But I'm climbing the hill with my grandson, trying to beat him to the top. I love that. I love to see my grandson behind me. He's not doing that too bad. He plays soccer, you know. He's kind of ahead of me a little bit. But some of those switchbacks, you know, the real long ones, you know. I said, wow, that's a pretty long one way out there. I said, come on, follow me. And we went straight up the hill. Sometimes on hands and feet, amen, going up and down that hill. I like doing that stuff. I want to try to stay in shape, and I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Praise God. You know, we got a new president. We got a new cabinet. I love watching Pete Hegseth meet up with the military in his travels. I love to see him out on the tarmac doing push-ups and doing exercises with the troops. I love that. I love that. I love to see him out there doing that. And then he was with one other guy. I can't remember his name right offhand. But they did the challenge, you know, 100 push-ups and 50 pull-ups in 10 minutes. Now, I can't do pull-ups. I'm not strong enough. My back isn't strong enough, okay? I'll confess to that right off the bat, okay? I do have a pull-up bar in my house. I hang on it once in a while, but I can't do any pull-ups. Sorry, I can't. I don't know how many you can do. You can probably do 15 or 20, right? Or you haven't done them for a while. Look at them. I caught them. I better leave the preacher alone, amen? All right, you guys are laughing. How many pull-ups can you guys do, huh? Now pick on these guys a little bit, okay? Thou therefore, in the first verse, 2 Timothy 2, 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. First of all, Paul said to Timothy, he says, my son, I got to meet Brother Knight. Where's Brother Knight at? Is he around here somewhere? Is he with another class or somebody? Okay, all right. And he introduced me to him, but I had already met him out front. Praise God for a young assistant, amen, that can come and help out. Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong. in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, in the grace, be gracious. Here we go right here. I saw that right there. That's the point right there. Loving the unlovable. Touching the untouchable. Reaching the unreachable. Being nice to people. Man, I had so much fun at that laundromat because I smile. Hi, how you guys doing today? Pass out literature. You know, even those Spanish guys, whenever we would have to kind of walk past each other in the aisleway between the washers and dryers, you know, they'd look at me and they go, Pastor, good man, you know. I want to be gracious to people. I want to be helpful to people. I was standing out in the foyer out here before church. I like to open the door for people. You know, people go, wow, we got a new door opener? We got a new greeter? I was back there with the brother. Where is he at? He has Mr. Greeter and Usher on his jacket there. He and I were back there opening the door for people. I like to be nice to people. I like to be gracious. I want to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. One of the funnest things and the greatest things probably the Lord has allowed me to do overseas is have a Bible study, a discipleship with a lot of young people and a lot of adults also, and help train train them to reach others. We do have a man in our church in Budapest that preaches for me while we're gone. His son also helps his dad. He leads the singing, and he preaches sometimes. And we've got other young men in some of the churches that also are preaching for their pastor in Hungary and stuff, Hungarian men. And also, we've been able to go into Ukraine. I've made 58 trips into Ukraine so far. And I'm also a chaplain with the Army, and I've been able to go on the base and help out with that. And we've been able to reach a lot of people. And it's just been amazing to see what God is doing there. But he says here, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Our home church, Cleveland Baptist, Pastor Roy Thompson was a pastor when I went to the mission field. He trained Kevin Folger. He took it over for a while. And now Kevin's son Peter now is our pastor. It's good. I meet a lot of pastors. They don't have a clue who's going to be there. You know, they don't have an assistant. They don't know who's going to take over if something happens. And there are a lot of churches in America right now that do not have a pastor. Your preacher's here shaking his head, yeah. There are a lot of churches right now that do not have a pastor. We were in a church last week on Sunday morning in Ohio, did not have a pastor. We were in another church Sunday night. Brother Dan Wolven, I don't know if you know him or not, he's been out of Cleveland Baptist a long time ago, and down in North Columbus, and they are transitioning. The church has voted on their son, and they're bringing him on probably later this November, early December or something. And they're working a transition, and he's going to take over for his dad. And I like that. Have a plan for the future. Have a plan for the future. Train men that can take your place if something happens. Amen. That's good. We need to be doing that. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what? It's not easy to be a soldier. You know, there was a time, now I will say this, when I tell people I like to run, you know, they go, oh, that's nice. That pat me on the head. That's nice. Yeah, he likes to run. 10 years ago, I ran my first marathon, the Akron Marathon, the full marathon, 26 miles. I didn't win the race, okay? My goal was to beat 6 hours, okay? Now, don't laugh. I made it in 5 hours and 59 minutes. Praise God. Oh, man. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You got to practice. You got to learn to endure hardness if you're going to be a good soldier. When I was in Hungary and when I was training for that and running, I run 7 days a week, 6 days a week, except Sunday. I don't run on Sunday, but I run 6 days a week. And people say, when do you rest? When does a soldier rest overseas when he's in battle? They don't rest. They don't rest. Okay? We need to learn to endure hardness. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about running the race with patience, okay, that's set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, talks about Jesus endured the cross. And then in verse 3 it says, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. Twice, once in verse 2, once in verse 3, Hebrews 12, it says endured. Here it says endured. We need to learn how to endure hardness. We really don't, young people today, we really don't know what hardness is. Man, if our battery on our phone died, man, we're having a crisis. We're having a crisis. Yeah, and look what's going on right now in America. We really need to pray for America, and we need to be out there trying. Where's it at? Don't retreat. Don't retreat. Earn crowns to cast at his feet. That's what we should be doing. We should be out there being an example for the younger people and trying to train them and help them to go out to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good soldier. I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I think we sang that song this morning, Faith of Our Fathers. That's what I'm talking about. In Hungary, for Mother's Day, we sing Faith of Our Mothers. I don't know if you guys do that. We change it a little bit. Sing the Faith of Our Mothers. Boy, those old times. I've read a lot of missionary biographies, and boy, I tell you, those guys. You know, I've had people tell me, boy, you're such a good missionary and all this stuff. And, you know, and I look at them and I'll say, David Livingstone was a missionary. He walked all the way across Africa from east to west, probably more than once, okay? He didn't have a nice car. He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have a satellite phone. You know, he wrote letters back and forth, and they took months to reach him if they ever reached him at all. We had a similar thing happen in Hungary. I was coming out of Hungary, out of Ukraine, and on the Hungarian side, they wanted to see my international driver's license, and I didn't have it with me because they never asked for it. Well, this time they demanded that I have an international passport, and I had one back at Budapest, so I asked my wife to send me a picture of it. Finally, they let me go. They were going to keep me in Ukraine. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to park my car here and I'm going to walk home. Oh, man. Well, filled out the application online. I sent it to a buddy of mine in Cleveland. He went over to AAA. He got me an international driver's license, mailed it to Budapest the first week of January this year. You know when I got it? April. Didn't get it till April. Wow. That's just wild, okay? We need to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, I gotta be honest with you. I really like this thing, okay? But it can be a big distraction. You know, I can remember back when they first started having the little games you could play online. Now, I'll be honest with you, okay? The last time I played a computer game, okay, was when they had the little boxes that fell down and you had to put them in the right place before and try to fill up the thing with the boxes going on. Was it Tetris or something like that? How long ago was that? How long ago was that? Do you remember? 20 years? 30 years? I don't play computer games. Now, I look at the news, and I can look at the news longer than I should probably. But you know what? I try to be real careful with the affairs of this life, and I try to avoid distractions. I would much rather spend time reading and writing my Bible. which, by the way, I have a wide margin Bible back there. And so far, I have filled it with notes, and I've given a wide margin Bible with all my notes in it to all five kids, to their husbands and wives, okay? So that's 10. I have given one of those Bibles to 21 of my grandchildren, and now I'm working on filling another Bible for my 22nd grandchild also. I would much rather spend my time reading and writing the Word of God and going out and telling people about the Lord. That's what I would rather be doing. We must be careful. And I want to challenge you again, okay? Arm yourselves. You know, I've seen things on YouTube where sheriffs and police departments are telling the citizens, arm yourselves, okay? Now, as a preacher, I'm not telling you to go buy a gun, okay? I don't have a gun. I live in a country, it would be very difficult for me to have a gun. I could get in a lot of trouble if I don't go through all the channels, okay? But I would say this, I want to read my Bible more going forward. I want to pray more going forward. I want you folks to read your Bible more, to pray more, to be ready for the battle, to be a good soldier, to grab a handful of tracts out there and pass out literature everywhere you go. You know, I was on a prayer call with some pastors, and one of the preachers said prayed that I would be a good missionary to America. And when I come home to America, I want to challenge the churches to keep going forward. For the mastery, strive in 2025. That's what I'm talking about. I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ going forward. I want you to arm yourselves. Now, your preacher down here, he might not like this, but he's getting a little bit older from the last time I saw him. You know what he needs? Here, preacher, come up here and sit down on a chair. No, I'm just saying, you don't have to get up here. I'm just saying, we'll pull a chair over here, and you can sit down in the chair, and a couple of the men just hold up his arms while he prays. That's what I'm talking about. Now, he's probably still working out at the gym. I'm sure he does. And he would probably say, I don't need any of these young punks holding up my arm. Amen? I like a sense of humor, too. Amen? You caught that already, all right? I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go get them. Amen? We can do this. We need to learn to endure hardness. Beware of distractions in the world. Be a good soldier. Amen? Amen. Preacher? Amen.
Brother Pranger, we appreciate that. And let's stand together and take our hymn books and turn to number 578. 578. Okay. Perhaps you've gotten a little soft spiritually. Perhaps you haven't been working out by reading your scripture and passing out tracts and being prayerful. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, Lord, I'm not praying the way I should. I'm not witnessing the way I should. And I'm not living the way I should. I'm not the soldier that I ought to be. The altar's open. It's a call, a rallying call for all of us, because we are the soldiers of the Lord. And there is a spiritual warfare. We heard about it this morning. And we're the last line of defense between sinners dying and going to hell and getting saved and going to heaven. So let's sing number 578. Maybe you'd come just as you are. Talk to the Lord. Maybe there's somebody, and you see their face in your mind right now that you need to tell about Jesus. You know who they are. You see them. But you haven't done it. Why don't you come up here tonight and bring their name with you and say, Lord, this person I need to talk to. And I want to do it as soon as I can by your grace. Why don't you do that? If you have any questions about being saved, you come and see me, all right? 578.